B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't like to brag, folks, but guys, it's already been a big day in the Farzetta household. Today, for the first time since last Friday, I actually walked through the threshold of my front door and actually set foot on the sidewalk to put out the trash. That's right. I basically left my house today. For the first time in a week, I went outside, maybe 10 feet, put the trash out, came back in. Big day today already, folks. Trey, are you impressed?
Good job. Good job. Wait, how did you feel? You know,
Feeling the
sun. Well, it's early in the morning, so no sun yet. But
the air is crisp.
Yeah.
The air's crisp,
I went out yesterday,
man.
And my son and I, we went on a bike ride through the woods. It was awesome.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so
nice. It almost went bad for me, you know, because I went over a log as if I was on one of my ATVs on my mountain bike. And the wheel came to a sudden halt.
Oh, really?
If it wasn't for my superior athleticism, I probably would have been face first into the woods.
Well, thank God Big Can of Thunder didn't come tumbling down. You know what I'm saying?
No, it was my superior. And then I had to turn to my son. Did you see how the athleticism kicked in? And then my son was like, you know what? I'm going to walk the rest of the way because I think this is a little dangerous for us.
I got to say, I just walking outside my front door yesterday, literally like an hour ago, Bobby, I felt like, you know the scene in Shawshank Redemption when Tim Robbins goes through the sewage and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And, 5 football fields of poop, whatever.
You ripped off your shirt and everything?
I didn't rip off my shirt. I kept it on. You know, I live in a family neighborhood. So I walk outside and it was like that. I felt like I've been outside mostly doing the yard work, using my machete to clean up the backyard. But walking out the front door, looking up and down the rows of homes and all that stuff, man, it was very freeing. It was the first time in a week I actually walked out my front door. It was very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, I feel great. It's a nice thing.
Like Trey, I ventured out yesterday, went to a park where there was very good social distancing by everyone. We went for a nice long walk, Donna, Tommy, and I, and it was a beautiful day outside, and then did a little happy hour out on the deck out at around 4 o'clock.
Very nice.
Good day to get out.
I saw the Lynch family had a little road trip, was it? Was the little Lynch family road trip? What was going on there, Jamie?
We went over to support one of my local favorite breweries. They were doing curbside pickup. So we got out of the house and went over to Oakland, New Jersey for a quick minute. And then met my cousin in a park where we had a happy hour at proper social distances.
I mean, where's the invite, man? I mean, you come over to our country and
no
invite?
Right, Trey? It's right down the street from us, Trey.
We can't see each other anyway, really.
I mean, I've been practicing social distancing.
Right.
I like social distancing beering.
Yeah, it was just a quick pickup and bounce.
Ride your bike on over to Oakland, right there. Have yourself a good time, right? To bring the boy. Let the boy come over there, Trey. So yesterday, Sam, did you get out of the apartment? Did you walk Nelly a little bit? You were able to take the dog out?
Yeah, every day it's nice. We go to the baseball field because we live right by St. Joe's. So it's pretty nice. We use that.
Look at that. Look at us embracing our...
So she just runs around the field. Dion throws into the fence. It works out for everybody.
Embracing our fine freedoms. You got to get the exercise. You got to get out, take the walks. People were walking by the house yesterday with the kids. They were taking the kids on the walks, looking for the balloons, the rainbow balloons all over the city now, which is great. It was nice to hear, you know, laughter outside my house yesterday as people walked by and counted how many balloons they saw and how many rainbows they saw and all that. So that was, it's nice. Anything for the kids, as I was saying yesterday. But, There's a little bit of a problem because, first thing, I watched the 36-minute interview with Howie Roseman and Dave Spadaro yesterday, the one-on-one on the Eagles website. Did you guys happen to treat yourself to that wonderful experience, Trey? Did you happen to catch any of your man Howie?
I caught some of it.
And then he also had an hour and a half conference call. Bob, have you ever been part of an hour and a half conference call?
I refuse to go over an hour on any conference call.
Here's the thing. If a lot of people in the workplace now, they got to rely on the conference call. Generally speaking, there's one every day in a lot of different businesses. It's a tough thing if you're one of the people that's just there for the information, for what the boss is going to say, and then to get out. And then you got to deal with the people that don't know how to put their phone on mute still, despite using it every day. And they're either yelling at the kid in the background, or they left the TV on, or you could hear them in the bathroom, brushing their teeth, whatever it might be, or other things. And like the conference call thing, just it always makes me go, like it makes me very uncomfortable. An hour and a half conference call with a slew of reporters asking you questions about free agency, asking you questions about potential trades you already made, the draft, what you're going to do in the draft. Like, to listen into that, it takes a lot. And I'll say this much. One of the takes that has come out of this conference call with Howie Roseman is that Alshon Jeffrey might actually be back this coming season. I still don't see that happening. And when I went and listened to Howie talk about Alshon on the conference call and then also in the one-on-one with Dave Spadaro, all I really heard was Howie doing typical coach speak, or in this case, GM speak, where he said a bunch of nice things about him that you would say about a guy that you either want to trade or you just don't really, really want to keep him around anyway. He's not going to come out and hint at the idea that he's not going to be back. He is only going to say nice things about the guy, how much he wants to win, and not just win, by the way. He wants to win here in Philadelphia, making it seem like you want to keep him anyway for anyone that might be listening going, yeah, you know what, Howie, we know you're not just going to cut him, so I'm not going to get him for nothing. I'll give you something for him. Like, I don't see that as part of Howie's message at all yesterday, where a lot of people were taking it, I saw on social media after the conference call, which was, oh, Howie's talking like Alshon's going to be back. No, he was just saying a bunch of nice things. He didn't even say, yeah, I hope to have him back next year. I hope he's playing well for us next year. He said, get healthy, and he's a great teammate, basically. Those two things I think a lot of people look at and go, well, we know one of them isn't true, because so far he hasn't been a great teammate. Was he a warrior in the Super Bowl playing with that torn rotator cuff and playing most of the season with it? Absolutely. But as far as being a great teammate now, no, there's dissension in the ranks of the Eagles leadership, especially now without Malcolm Jenkins there to take those reins of leadership. They absolutely, I am now convinced, they want to hand that over to Carson Wentz. And I think that's the reason they want to do that is because they feel as if a lot of people question him. Like, a lot of people in the locker room have looked at him as if he is the golden boy. He's the golden child, right? He's the boss's favorite, so to speak, Trey. And when you listen, when you look at Carson Wentz, when you talk about that dissension, it seems to have started with Alshon Jeffrey. It definitely came through in three separate articles that question his leadership style, or at least his presence in the locker room and how other players view him. Talking about stories from Jeff McClain, talking about stories from Joe Santoliquito, talking about stories from our own Tim McManus that have highlighted how players on this team look at Carson as a leader, whether or not they do, and whether or not they look at him as sort of the golden boy that needs to take on a different leadership style. Alshon Jeffrey has led to a lot of that dissension, and Carson, it might not even be at his own fault. Maybe he just rubs people the wrong way. I'm not trying to paint him like he's some bad guy, but it just seems like what they're doing right now is trying to hand everything over to Carson to be that leader. I know we've talked about it two separate occasions over this week, but right now, with the things that were said about the wide receiver position yesterday, with Howie Roseman and what he was saying in the conference call and the one-on-one, it seems like this is all going to be about Carson. This offense is going to revolve around Carson. And it shouldn't be breaking news to say that about a young franchise quarterback, but when you've literally done nothing this offseason to really help his side of the ball, it seems like the only people you want to bring in, like rookies, are guys that are going to be, I don't know, subservient to Carson. What do you see, Trey, and how the Eagles have really approached this offseason as far as the offensive side of the football goes?
Yeah, you can see that, they want to bring in younger talent that can be molded, the guys that you can kind of influence a little bit more, where he is the veteran, he is the voice, he's the one that everybody's looking up to, not it being a situation where you have some older guys that's been around the league, that's been around other talent, been around other the quarterbacks that they're kind of comparing him to. Now you're just going to, he's going to be that veteran voice, that person that's like, look, I need you to be here, do this, do that, and then not be questioned.
Yeah, because Bob, this came up yesterday in ESPN, and Jamie, you saw this article as well. But Bob, when we've talked about this earlier in the week, one of the theories I had, and I thought at the time it was grasping at straws in terms of what Carson Wentz was going to bring to the table offensively as a leader of this team and really throughout the locker room. And my theory was, are they not going after Breshad Perriman? Are they not going after even a guy like Robbie Anderson? Not that they're going to be franchise-changing guys and huge game-impact guys, but those are veteran guys. Are you not bringing in those veterans because they're going to be set in their own ways and maybe even feel like they know more than Carson or would even have an opinion that would carry some clout compared to Carson? So as we go down this line, and it's only been really a week now, as we go down this line, it only seems like the Eagles are trying to hand everything over to Carson.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at it. One, yeah, all their confidence right now is in Carson and saying, all right, we can get young guys. We can get guys that he'll grow into this league. They'll be talented, and he'll teach them how to play in the NFL. That's all great, and that's the good side of it. But if you look at this offense, just compare it to the first game of last season and how much different it is. You lost Jason Peters. You lost Jordan Howard, who was your number one running back. You've lost Alshon Jeffrey. You've lost Darren Sproles. DeSean Jackson is coming off of surgery. You're going to start basically a rookie left tackle protecting Carson's weak side, backside. I mean, this is scary. If you just put all that on paper, it's scary what they're going into this without the draft, obviously, into this season with. So, yeah, it says to me, like I kind of said last week, I think they're putting all their eggs in Carson Wentz's basket and saying no matter who we surround him with, he's going to make this a great, great offense. And it's going to be seen, but it's amazing all that they've lost on this offense from just opening day last year.
Yeah, and Jamie, this is the story you saw. Philly Voice put this out, and it comes from ESPN, and I read it by way of Philly Voice. And this is where you start thinking about it to the next level, and this is what I was alluding to earlier. This is from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who says, after making dozens of calls on the receiver market last week, after dozens of guys kind of went off the market without coming to Philadelphia, and after the Eagles loaded up defensively, the Eagles are still a team that desperately need receivers. They're sitting right now a few plays out in March, and right now applying a lot of pressure to get it right in April. After making dozens of calls on the receiver market last week, the belief is that the Eagles want a younger player who will mesh with Carson Wentz rather than a veteran who might have his own style of play. That shows me, if that's true, and that, look, when guys go off the board that could have helped you immediately going into next year, and at least would have shown you in free agency, the Eagles were at least willing to start addressing the wide receiver issue. I mean, the writing's on the wall. They want Carson to be the guy that people are basically subservient to. And what they're doing right now, Jamie, seems to be what we talked about a little bit last season, which was the Russell Wilson treatment. Where Russell Wilson in Seattle, they got rid of guys like Percy Harvin, for instance. They got rid of guys like Golden Tate, guys that might not have meshed well with Russell Wilson, and simply brought in guys that would be, bend a knee, as they say, to the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, go find me a Doug Baldwin then.
Right.
It's at one point, or for, part of it, I'm like, all right, that's cool, good way of thinking. And then part of me is like, all right, this is now 3 years in a row when there's been, it seems like an ego coming from Wentz, or at least perceived to be an ego in that locker room. You have to build around the quarterback, but should we be concerned about Wentz's ego?
Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I think we should. And it's not because I want to paint
Carson
Wentz.
It's not one thing. It's not one thing anymore. It's not like we're trying to paint him. Like, this is now 2 or 3 years in a row where something has come out about this.
It's a weird thing in that I don't think Carson Wentz is like some bad guy. I think Trey's the type of teammate that is, not to sound like I'm praising him either, but I think he's laser focused on one goal, to hell with everybody else, my way or the highway, which is not a good leadership style. But I don't think, I don't even know if he knows that's how it's being perceived in the locker room right now. Hey, it apparently registered to him before last season when he sat down with about six different reporters and had a one-on-one interview after the first story came out about his personality in the locker room and how when he was coming back from injury, he was kind of pushing other players aside, trying to focus on just him and coming back. When that apparently made a lot of people feel like they were being alienated in the locker room by their franchise quarterback when they were trying to get to know the young guy. It just seems like something that rubs a lot of people the wrong way at this point, Trey. How would you view it if you were in that locker room right now and you're looking at a guy like Carson Wentz who is trying to really prove himself at the NFL level, considering he's had so many injuries, considering he's also trying to win a Super Bowl after his backup took over and ended up winning with his team. It seems like a guy that might be the type of personality, and I don't know if you call it alpha or not, that just says, to hell with everything else, this is how we got to win.
I mean, as long as it's successful, I really don't care. You know, like, right. If long as you come out there and you're successful and your players respect you and they answer the call, I don't care if they like you or not. You know what I'm saying? I know that you want to have an atmosphere where everybody can trust each other and have each other's back. But at the end of the day, it's all about the success on the field. There were times I remember when I went to San Diego, and there were a couple offensive linemen that were there, and Drew Brees was drafted by San Diego, and they were saying that how he was so distant. But he was all about trying to win, and it just kind of it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way a little bit. But then after he left and went on to have success, everybody understood it. So, you know, for Carson, I understand the look at when you're coming off of injury, you have to focus on yourself, make sure that you do everything that you need to do so that you can come back at 110%. But I don't get into all the feelings. You know, you want to be cool with your guys, but hey, man, at the end of the day, we need to produce on the field. And if that means I got to check you and I need to be able to say something to you that might not be what you want to hear, then, I mean, deal with it and let's move on.
Yeah,
and if they're surrounding the Carson Wentz with people that are good for his psyche, as opposed to surrounding Carson Wentz with receivers who have 4.3 speed and great hands, they're making a grave mistake. I mean, that would be a horrible mistake on their part. Mm. Go out and get the talent. Forget, like Trey said, we've all played with, worked with people that you might not like, but you still work hard and you still try to do the best job you can. That's what these players have to do around Carson Wentz, and that's how Carson Wentz has to perceive anyone that they bring in. But if they're bringing in young guys just so Carson Wentz can groom him the way he wants him, that's a scary situation to me.
That's what I fear, because what about the guy that could have come into this offense and help, whether that be Perryman, whether that be Anderson, whether that even be Devin Funch? Not that I wanted these guys necessarily, but there's still guys that could have come in and helped immediately in this offense. It also would have given you, bottom line, something better than you had last year. I mean, you listen to Howie Roseman yesterday, you hear him talk about DeSean Jackson, and yeah, you hear him talk about Alshon Jeffery, but really, what, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside taking a huge step up in his sophomore year? Yeah, I hope it happens, but I'm not relying on it. Greg Ward, you know you could get a guy to come in here and instantly help this offense, and you didn't do that in free agency. I understand now you're waiting for the draft, that appears to be what you're doing, but you look around that locker room, and there's nobody other than your tight ends and Miles Sanders that you really go, oh, yeah, here you go. Carson, you want the deep ball, for instance? Who are you going to in this case? DeSean Jackson, we all hope that he's healthy. We don't know that that's going to happen this coming year. And if he does start up the season healthy, is he going to be that same burner? Is he going to be that same type of guy? Is he going to be able to stay on the football field? It just looks like they are revolving everything around. And this shouldn't be news. But the fact that it's really two seasons in a row where you're looking at Carson going, do we really need to kowtow everything to you? Can you not find a way to mold yourself around the players that you have? Because if you're ignoring talent for the sake of an ego, then yeah, Bob, grave mistake is the exact way to put it. So we'll get into that throughout the show, obviously, today. Plenty to get to. Plenty of Howie Roseman stuff we want you to hear today from his conference call, from his one-on-one, including, Jamie, a gift that I'll consider just for you. You will, you'll love this. And you know what, Trey? You too, man, because you've known Howie for how long?
Oh, man, since he was an intern.
Since he was an intern. Well, you know, Howie's grown up. You talk about guys that grow up in the organization. Well, Howie's grown up, and you know what? He made a declaration yesterday. And taken out of context, it's even more fun than you'd think, and that's exactly why we're going to take it out of context. But anyway,
of course.
We're going to...
Of course we are.
Usually I say we're not taken out of context, but I'll say this. I'll give it proper context early in the show, okay. And then later in the show, totally out of context.
Then you know we take it out of context. Okay.
You know what? You know why? You know why?
Why?
Because
why?
Because it's more fun that way. That,
okay, cool.
And I'm telling, it's not damning to Howie. I'm not trying to do anything like that. It's just it's a little thing we have here on, for a little funsies on Friday. You know what I'm saying? Also, opening day was yesterday. Supposedly, it really wasn't, but it was supposed to be. And I did it, fellas. I actually watched Rhys Hoskins versus Miguel Rojas Rojas on MLB The Show.
Really?
On YouTube yesterday. I turned it on late, probably in the third inning, I think, something like that. And I was doing other things while it was on, and it was basically an interview while people, I think, were commenting, writing in questions. And it basically devolved into, so what food do you like in Philadelphia? What food do you like in Miami? Cool. Like, that's kind of what it devolved into. Did you watch this, Jamie? Did you watch any of this?
No, I didn't.
You did it! Oh.
No, I completely forgot about it.
I don't want to say it was a train wreck by any means, and I couldn't take my eyes off it, but it was like, wow, both these guys have gone to the interview style. Now, as for the game itself, Bryce Harper had two RBIs with a solo home run and an RBI double off the center field wall. So Hoskins won 2-0. I don't know who pitched. I assume Nola, but it was two guys being interviewed, and one of these guys, they settled a... actually, they were all on the same page here. Both of them were on the same page. They decided that one fast food joint is better than another, and it's highly controversial. So we'll get to that. We'll also get to, how about this? Dave Matthews putting on a concert on Twitter last night. 2 million people actually watched that. I checked it out for a little bit to see what it was like. It was actually pretty cool. He said he was in his living room, but it looked like he was in a sound studio. It was pretty cool. Also, another hat tip to Michael Rubin. He's doing something great in the community. Drew Brees got involved in COVID-19 relief in a heavy way in Louisiana. Gabe Kapler. Oh, my goodness.
I can't wait.
Cap, bro. Cap.
I can't wait to hear Gabe Kapler talk about coronavirus.
Let me tell you something. You know what he did yesterday? He punched coronavirus in the face. That's what Gabe Kapler did in San Francisco. We'll let you hear from Gabe the Babe. Trey, you discovered this. Liv Simmons, our good friend Liv Simmons. You know, some people are doing the no makeup thing. She kind of did the no overclothes. She did the underwear, but she did the... Yeah. It's tastefully done, I guess.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so that's out there. We got plenty to get to again in the NFL with Roger Goodell. Roger has spoken. And we've also, we've been talking about this. I've been teasing this for a couple of days. The Hub, Sam Wilson's own The Hub, Sam Wilhub, has been doing a lot during this whole lockdown thing, this whole quarantine thing, self-isolation and all that stuff. It helped out Italy. It helped out the United States. I'm pretty sure it's helping out all over Europe as well. And now, apparently, they're helping with homework. So, go figure. And then we'll get to some other stuff today, including 8:30. Dr. Jen will join us again before the weekend. Some bad news came across over the last 24 hours that the United States has kind of taken over the lead in coronavirus cases. Just under 82,000. So that's not good. Over China, Italy, Spain, Germany, France, Iran, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and South Korea. So that's not good. So Dr. Jen's going to join us to kind of give us her take on the whole situation nationwide and also what we could do to kind of help our own community other than just social distancing. So we'll get to that. But coming back, we'll hear Howie Roseman's take on the wide receiver position right now with the Eagles and what they're going to do to help Carson Wentz going forward. There's a couple of names out there right now in the wide receiver category that the Eagles might actually have their eye on. So we'll talk about that. And that's not draft related. We'll talk about all that and more coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit UnitedRentals.com. In this segment, we'll hear a little bit from Howie Roseman here on the wide receivers, including a little tour around his office. So we'll hear that about the tour in his office, rather, in the next segment. But here, we'll hear about the wide receivers. But as of right now, I want to see how people are feeling about Carson Wentz and the theory that's out there right now that the Eagles are trying to get receivers in here that don't have a lot of NFL experience. Let's get Laura from Warminster up here. Laura, what's going on? Good morning to you.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's everybody?
Morning. Great.
Great.
I'm thinking a lot about this Carson Wentz stuff, and, you know, I can't help but think about the Chip Kelly era, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I remember when he was saying, like, not saying, but he was demonstrating the whole, well, I want my guys, and I got to get this culture with, you know, mm-hmm. with certain players, and if they didn't fit that culture, and it kind of reminds me of that. And, you know, obviously we all remember him getting rid of Deshaun because, you know, he didn't fit into Chip Kelly's perceived culture. And it bothers me because we all know how that turned out. And, you know, it just, I guess I'm just reminiscing about that. And it's not really what I want to think about at 6:30 this morning. And, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh man, I hope it doesn't kind of turn. And I know it's different. I know it's a coach versus a quarterback, and, you know, Peterson's a player's coach, and it's a different scenario, but I'm kind of seeing a little bit of similarities, and it's kind of bothering me this morning. And, you know, but the last thing I'll say is, you know, I really appreciate you guys. You know, I'm an essential employee. I'm a dietitian at a long-term care facility in Jersey. And, you know, listening to you guys and talking sports is just like, it's making the drive better and it's making the days better, you know, with this whole coronavirus thing. So I just want to say I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Laura, that's so nice. Thank you. No, believe me, thank you for what you're doing for the community. And we're just happy that we could provide some sort of old normalcy to people in this crazy time. So, Laura, thanks for calling in. And that's an interesting theory, Laura. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep, absolutely. Have a good day.
You too. Trey, a comparison in the first hour. And I don't think it's that crazy. Chip Kelly, Carson Wentz, your thoughts?
I cannot compare Carson Wentz to Chip Kelly. Absolutely not. Carson Wentz, he's nothing like how Chip Kelly was. I'm hoping that he's nothing like that.
I agree with you in terms of not being that kind. Like, look, I personally think that Chip Kelly was just a flat out my way or the highway type guy in so many different facets of his coaching style, his GM style, essentially. I don't think Carson Wentz is that guy. I don't think Carson Wentz is like a guy that's I don't know if the word cutthroat is appropriate or not, but I don't think he's that type of guy where he's doing it just to assert authority. I think he's the type of guy that is focused on himself, and sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. I think Chip Kelly is focused on himself because he's focused on himself. Like, that's how I viewed him here. But as far as the pushing people away my way or the highway, that could be a fair comparison. With Carson, and it could be with him and Chip.
And we're making an assumption here, because we really don't know how Carson is with everybody, or if he's telling them, hey, listen, I only want guys in here that I can mold. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it seems like as a quarterback, you would want to bring in whatever the best weapons that are available, because it's hit or miss in the draft. How many times have you seen guys light it up in college but get into the NFL and they're duds? You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. you know, I, as a quarterback, I would want to be arming my loading my magazine with as much as the most proven weapons out there, or if they're some of the most talented guys out there, instead of it being, well, hey, let me get guys that I can mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I want guys to go get people that are going to go help them win as soon as humanly possible.
Exactly.
I mean, look, we've seen a lot of instances. We saw one last year in terms of a guy that had, what, 14 touchdowns at Stanford two years ago on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who came into the NFL and was a dud in his rookie year. So I'd rather go get a guy that I know can help me immediately, whether that's Robbie Anderson, whether that's a guy like Breshad Perriman, whether that's Funches, for instance. So all these different guys you could have brought in, you did not. Is it because you don't want one of those veteran guys, as Jeremy Fowler pointed out, Bob? As Jeremy Fowler pointed out, saying, look, these are guys that wouldn't mesh, quote-unquote, with Carson. And to use Trey's word, these are guys that he couldn't mold to his playing style.
Do you think Howie Roseman has an ego? And I'm asking honestly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know for a fact he does, as a matter of fact.
Right. So if Howie has such an ego, and you know, that goes with the territory, that goes with the business of coaches, GMs, whatever, do you really think he's going to a 27-year-old quarterback who's really not accomplished much in the league and being like, "Ooh, I have a chance to get DeAndre Hopkins. You think I should do it?" Nah, Howie, I'm good. Wait for the draft. I think Howie's looking to make a name for himself just like everybody else. I wonder if he's relying on Carson, which is what we're kind of throwing out there, or if he's overthinking this and thinking that he has to do something like this while Carson's just sitting back and saying, "Hey, I'll play with whoever you get me." I don't know, but I think ego has to come into it at some point, and I wonder if Howie's ego would allow him to put so much stock into his 26, 27-year-old quarterback.
And everybody in there has an ego now, and if they don't, then you don't need to be in that locker room.
Right.
Right.
I understand that, but the other part is, I mean, Carson was still Howie's pick. And Howie could say, you know what, speaking of an ego, look who I got my quarterback, the guy I drafted, the guy I traded up for, the guy I risked a lot to go up and get, a guy, you know what, out of, FBS coming up here to be our starting quarterback. I traded up to get him. I gave up a lot. Like I said, put his neck on the line as a general manager, or at least at the time a director of player personnel. Look who I can win with my quarterback. I don't even need to get the top tier guys. That could also be an ego thing for Howie. But on those wide receivers, Howie Roseman talked about that yesterday while he was doing his conference call with a whole slew of Eagles media. It was basically a press conference over the phone, practicing social distancing, talked about the Eagles' current wide receiver issues. Here's Howie Roseman.
I think we do view the receiver position maybe then that's different than that's publicly viewed. You know, I understand where we were towards the end of the year and who was out there, and we got to increase the talent level, but we're also excited to get some of those guys back who were not healthy, and we're also excited for young guys to take another step. Now, that doesn't mean that we're done addressing it, that we're not going to look for opportunities to improve that position. But, you know, we don't have the luxury of just kind of being in a vacuum and just looking at the receiver position. We got to kind of deal with the information as we get it. And I think that overall, we're happy with where we are right now, knowing that we still have other areas to improve.
Just happy with Alshon Jeffrey, who, by the way, just from a football standpoint, is injured. Can't play right now. Can't play at the start of the season either. Then you also have him as a guy that has been a locker room poison. Then you also have DeSean Jackson, who, we all love, but appears that he can't stay healthy. Then what after that? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside didn't show you anything his rookie year. Dropped a ball that would have won a game for you against the Lions. Then you also have a situation where you have a guy like Greg Ward, who had to do just about everything possible to get off the practice squad and immediately come in and actually have an impact. Would have been on pace for 75 catches this season. That's not too bad. That's a guy that should have been playing. And after that, what do you have at the wide receiver spot? Well, who are you relying on in this wide receiver core right now? There's
Sean
nobody.
Jackson possibly coming back.
That's impossibly. There's nobody to go. Yeah, there you go. That's our guy.
Zach Ertz.
Wide receiver, though. Wide receiver position.
He's a TWR. I mean, you know, slash.
TWR. TEWR.
Yeah.
But in just talking about the wide receiver position, who's the guy you're trusting right now? Who's the guy Carson can look at and go, this is my guy?
CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, his name might not be announced until next month. Jamie's right. I mean, it might be a name that we don't even know yet.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. And I want him to have a big impact in the draft. And I want them to even go out and maybe make a trade. Or maybe you can still sign somebody else that's available. There doesn't seem to be a lot of names that are left right now that would really open up a lot of people's eyes. There's some talk right now about a possible trade about some of these other players, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But you look around, who's the guy that really jumps out to you that's a wide receiver on this team? I mean, I hate when a GM or a coach tells you, "Oh, you know what? We view it better than most people view it." Well, of course you do, because that you don't want to look stupid. But we're all looking at it objectively as guys that don't have to make these decisions in the front office, guys that don't have a rooting interest in one guy or the other. We just want to see somebody go out there and catch footballs from Carson Wentz and not be a guy that's looked at as a snitch in the locker room. Is that too much to ask? Did he even go out there? Is it too much to ask to even just stay out there as a healthy wide receiver? I don't think so. But when a guy like Howie Roseman or any GM tells you, oh, we view it better than most people. Yeah, that's because you want to err on the side of optimism because that's your investment. That's your pick. Speaking of ego, Bob, you don't want to look bad. And these guys come out there and they don't produce. You can't tell this fan base that these guys are better than what we thought because there's no evidence to that, especially when you're talking about guys that can't stay healthy.
Yeah, as Marcus Hayes pointed out in his column today, DeSean Jackson has averaged under 10 games in his last 3 years. So hopefully the organization is viewing him in the exact same way as I think all of us do, as, well, if he gives you something, great, but I'm not counting on anything. I really think that's how you have to view DeSean Jackson this year.
All right, coming back on the other side of this, Jamie, this is just a gift for you. All right, buddy?
It's really nice of you.
It's a gift because, you know, who doesn't want to be in Howie Roseman's home office, right? And I'm going to give you, if you haven't watched it yet, it's 36 minutes of Dave Spadaro and Howie Roseman doing a Skype call, if you will, a Skype interview in each other's, it looks like, home offices. So Howie gives you a little tour of his office, and he gave a little gift, and I'm pretty sure the gift is just for a gentleman by the name of James Lynch Jr. So we'll get to that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
In case you missed it, Howie Roseman sat down with Dave Spadaro yesterday on the Eagles website, a little Skype interview session. And some of the things that were talked about, you know, how Howie's doing and all this, he's at home, right? You know, he's at home, he's in his office, he can close the door, get away from his family for a second, focus on the draft, focusing on free agency, whatever it might be. The conversation also went into, hey, Howie, take me around your home office a little bit. Did you know, Trey, that Howie Roseman has a helmet, an Eagles Super Bowl 52 helmet signed by everybody on that team? Do you know he has that in his office?
As he should.
Of course he should. Do you know that he's got a picture of him and Doug Peterson over his right shoulder?
As he should.
That's very nice. It shows that they get along. And you know what? Trey, like you, you have a lot of footballs behind you, right? You got a lot of your game balls behind you. Well, Jamie, this is just for you because Howie took us through all his footballs, as a matter of fact. Here's Howie Roseman yesterday.
I got a ton of balls.
You're welcome.
Oh, there you go.
For the people that missed it, go ahead.
I got a ton of balls.
I'm sorry, I kind of talked over it, Dylan. Go ahead one more time.
I got a ton of balls.
There you go.
It's a factually correct statement he made.
Well, is he wrong? No.
And I've seen some trades he's pulled off. He does have some balls.
Usually people talk about Doug Peterson on fourth down. Usually that's that category, you know what I'm saying? But for Howie Roseman, Trey, that's the young man you once knew. He's grown up.
Yeah. So he has game balls as well, hey?
I believe they're just autograph balls, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I think he just kind of held them up. I don't necessarily think they're game balls, but possibly just signed. He's got a lot of them, evidently.
Yeah, because I had to go and kick a lot of ass for these balls right here.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? I need y'all to understand.
No, as an
offensive, I need y'all to understand. As an offensive line, do you know how hard it is as an offensive lineman to get a game ball?
How hard is it?
Oh, it's extremely hard because if the offensive line does well, then the quarterback does well and the running backs do well. You know how hard it is for an offensive lineman to get a game ball? It's extremely hard. I remember one time my mom came up here and she saw my balls and she was like, look, can I take one of these home? And I'm like, Mom. No, because you know how hard it is to get one of these? And I gave her one, and then I went home, and I saw it. I'm like, you know what? I got to get it back. I'm sorry. I got to take this back. Because, I mean, it is extremely hard for an offensive lineman to get a game ball. Running backs get them all the time. Quarterbacks get them all the time. And that was one of the things that I did not like about Chip Kelly. During the 3 years that he was there, he never handed out game balls. Do you know how important that is for players?
That's weird.
Wait, he never handed out game balls. Yeah.
Wow. I never knew that.
No, he never handed out game balls. So you have 3 years of guys that played that never got a game ball.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, I just know. Like, look, Trey, you're not the first person I've heard talk about the game ball and like how proud they are. I got the game ball after that one, you know, that kind of thing. Like it might sound like a little bit of a footnote, but that's something that really matters to guys. I mean, Tom Brady, one of the stories I remember that came out about 2 or 3 years ago was that he was actually pissed off. Like, people in his circle told reporters that he was pissed off that in all his time in New England, he never got Patriot of the Week honors. Like, a little thing, like Employee of the Month, whatever. He never got that, something as minute as that. And it mattered to him that he never got that. It might sound stupid when you talk about all the accomplishments of a guy like him, or really a lot of different players throughout the NFL. But seriously, he's pissed off he never got Patriot of the Week honors? Game balls matter, man.
Yeah, it matters. It matters, I'm trying to tell you. And you can only get them if you win. I think I got one for a loss. But, you know, but man, the game ball is huge.
That's
for an offensive lineman. Means everything.
And one more time, can Howie check in on the status of his balls?
I got a ton of balls.
Boom, just like that.
We know, Howie, we know.
Jamie, that was your early Christmas present. You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I know when things return to the old normal, you'll be dropping the hell out of that when we get back in studio, my friend.
Trey, when people come down your basement and they try to touch your balls, do you get offended by that?
No, I don't let anybody down here.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't have guests. You know, I've been practicing social. This hasn't been a big problem for me. You know, this social distancing. You know, because I don't have people over anyway, so it's cool.
My wife and I just had that conversation yesterday. I'm trying to look at all this as there's going to be a point where I wish, hopefully in, you know, a couple months, maybe a couple years, whatever, that if I could just have like a month at home to get everything I need to get done, and it's off the table. Well, we're kind of getting that right now. Let's get to Jeff in Camden. Jeff, what's up, buddy? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Mark? What's going on, Trey?
Good, not much, man. How's everything?
I'm all right, man. You know, people are getting a little, I'm getting a little aggravated, man. I don't like Alshon Jeffrey's approach to things, just because I know, and it's fact that he is a steroid cheat. I don't like cheats. But I'm a guy myself personally, right? I'm in a fight.
Wait, hold on. I missed this. There's a story about Alshon Jeffrey and steroids?
Yeah, back in Chicago, man.
Okay. All right.
So, in a fight, like, I'll put my hands behind my back before I cheat, like Roy Jones did.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the chance of getting clocked because I'm going to prove myself. A guy like Tom Brady, when it comes down to doing it yourself, is always going to cheat. That's not a good guy. And that's why he's going to be a Buccaneer pirate. Buccaneer pirates are not good guys. Pirates are always guys that are going to cheat. And that's how he's going to end his career. And I got nothing against the Buccaneer franchise, mm-hmm. the people of Tampa Bay or anything like that. At the end of the day, a logo, a name, is just that. It's just a mascot mask. It's just something that you rally behind, and, you know, as your forte to how you do things. But look, man, this is the same fan base that when Riley Cooper was on video saying what he said, they cheered, "Coop! Coop! Coop!" in that stadium. So don't give me that about not forgiving Alshon Jeffrey, because evidence shows that everybody else has been forgiven. But now here we are trying to win games, trying to do everything we can to do, but no, not Alshon Jeffrey. Doesn't make any sense.
But I don't understand the correlation between Alshon and Riley Cooper, for instance.
What I'm saying is that's the same fan base that cheered Riley Cooper after he was on video saying what he said.
Uh-huh.
Filthy disgrace of a human being Riley Cooper is. And the fans, I'm sitting right there in the stadium while fans cheering Coop when he can't even play. He catches one stinking ball and they cheering Coop. That's all I'm saying. He's the same guys. The same guy saying this about Alshon Jeffrey.
Obviously, one's a lot more serious of a conversation. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
That hurt my brain.
I don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
I,
I,
I don't remember Riley Cooper ever getting cheered after that, one. And two, Alshon Jeffrey wasn't particularly steroids. It was an over-the-counter recommended supplement to battle inflammation. So by those same standards, you should hate Lane Johnson. You should hate, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's a steroid head.
Right. Yeah. It's we just took a stroll down memory lane. Remember the good memories. I had forgotten about even Alshon's time in Chicago. I know he was there before here, but I think we have our own problems right now in Philadelphia with the guy being a snitch, as it's looked at in the locker room. But anyway, moving on. Looking at Alshon and what he could bring to the table, like, I don't doubt that Alshon Jeffrey could still be a good wide receiver. I think he was actually a good wide receiver last year. He had one really bad game against the Seahawks where he had the three drops. Other than that, he played pretty well last year. I still think he's a good wide receiver. But Trey, when a player has it in the back of his mind, or maybe even in the forefront of his mind, a guy like Carson Wentz, that I can't trust this guy in the locker room, how do you trust him on the football field?
Yeah, that's the problem. If you can't trust that, now that's the thing where, you don't have to have all the warm and fuzzies about each other, but the most important thing is, can you trust the person that's going to be out there with you? And that's over everything. I need to know that you're going to have my back, and you need to know that I'm going to have your back, regardless of if we're buddy-buddy, if we all out at dinner all the time, or if you invite me over to have cake with you on your birthday or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you need to trust that I have your back and you have mine. And once that starts deteriorating, then it's going to be a problem. It's going to leak over onto the field.
Yeah, I don't see how it couldn't. I mean, anybody you work with, the whole time you got to be thinking, well, how do I trust this guy? Because he could be looking at you. You could get a sense that when somebody's staring at you and whenever they look at you, could say, is this the moment where they're judging me? Is this the moment where I rub them the wrong way? And look, that's where you talk about the story on ESPN from Jeremy Fowler talking about how what it looks like from the Eagles, the sense when he made phone calls around the league to talk to people about free agency and teams' directions and all that. He got the sense that the Eagles did not want to move on to a wide receiver in free agency that might be difficult might have difficulty meshing or getting along with Carson Wentz. He doesn't want to have dissension in the locker room when it comes to the receiving core and his quarterback. When you talk about the tight ends, you talk about Zach Ertz, Trey, like you mentioned earlier, you talk about Dallas Goedert, talk about the backfield with Miles Sanders and Boston Scott, another name that Howie Roseman brought up yesterday, Boston Scott. You talk about those guys, fine and dandy. Talk about the receiving core of this team, the guys that could potentially really move the football down the field, or the guys that you can really air it out to, the guys you have to have trust with. Yeah, there's a lot of question marks there. And that's not just Alshon. It's also with Deshaun, and it's also with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in terms of just talent level alone. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.